Yo, welcome to another episode of On the Serious 33rd and 3rd podcast. It's your man, Leo DiCaprio, a.k.a. Filthy McNasty, a.k.a. Danny Domino, a.k.a. your mama's next door neighbor's illegitimate second cousin on your adopted nephew's side.
How many times?
Twice removed.
It's your boy, Drew Nitty, a.k.a. International Drew, a.k.a. that Black Star Kid, a.k.a. that guy named Gangsta, a.k.a. that bad boy for life.
Okay. Yo, what up? I'm TJ.
I had something like to say. I forgot what it was, but fuck it. I don't care.
Oh man, what's happening, y'all?
Yo, like, you know how, like, you know, like, for a long time now, people nicknamed it the EBT Awards.
Yeah,
I think I coined that phrase. Thank you.
So, like. I thought it was a little funny, whatever. But I feel like I don't know if I ever really used it, but like I feel like it earned it this year.
It earned it a long time ago, which is why I said that a long time. That was me. That was all me. Don't say people.
Oh yeah, not to me. Not like this is really wow. Like I can't say it earned it in my head until then. I mean, you know, I know we black, we do shit our own way or whatever, but like it really earned it tonight. Is there a strike with the crew and they use all scabs? Like this was horrible. So like, did y'all see the one scene when after Babyface and LMA performed and then MC Light introduced Irv Gotti? And did you see the aerial wide shot for about 10 seconds just stuck after Irv Gotti was talking and it took them forever to get to his close up? Like the whole show, it was just so many holes and technical glitches. The teleprompter dude, he fucked up like a half dozen times.
Yo, can we talk about the highlights, bro? Can we go over something good that happened?
Yeah, and we'll come back to that. Because,
I mean, like, I mean, there were some good moments. I'm just saying, overall, though, this wasn't a really sound. It wasn't a really put together, moving along show.
We've attended a few BET Awards, but 2019 was like the first time I actually got to sit in the audience and watch one, like how it comes together. And it is somewhat chaotic, but it's also for what they do for like a live show, it's mm-hmm. a lot in a short amount of time. And I know that, you know, that's why they do all the rehearsals to make sure it comes off seamlessly.
Dave, was people eating random shit in the audience when you went?
They were.
Y'all in that theater like 5-6 hours, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, Drew. You wouldn't be having the snacks that you like in that mug.
I ain't saying that, but we gotta be the niggas that had the Flamin' Hots and M&M's and the Oodles.
Yes. Nigga, that's what we do. Absolutely. What are you talking about?
Absolutely. I would have some Carl's Jr. and
you think I wouldn't probably be in that bitch with some Garrett's?
I got a bit of a problem with the order in which we're doing this.
Well, it's so fresh, man. We just finished watching it.
I know, but let me explain my problem.
We're saving the best for last, B. We're saving the highlights.
No, that's not how we do. That's not how it's supposed to be done. It's not how it's supposed to be done. And maybe that's just the corporate person in me, but if we're going to give assessments, I think we should start with the praise, and then we can point out the areas of opportunity.
We save the positive. You know, we got to address. No, we don't necessarily have to lead with the positive. Cause then you want to end off on the negative.
Well, let's okay.
We end with the areas of opportunity. It's not negative. It's just things that could have been better.
Well, that's what we're starting with today, because this is more important.
It was like the first like fully live show I think since the pandemic, right? Because last year was still somewhat.
Yeah, I think you're right. And,
you know, taped and pieced
and
together.
Much scaled down. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. So this was kind of
maybe they need to shake the rust off or something. It was a lot.
But it you know, came together. It was definitely highlighted this year by Lotto's. Well, yeah, Lotto. I was gonna get to Lotto in a minute. Yeah,
that was highlight.
It was a whole lot of Lotto too, boy.
A whole lot of Lotto.
Nah, yeah, whole lot of Lotto.
I've never really paid. I've heard her name. I've never really paid her attention. I know she has that one song that sampled in the Mariah joint, but
yeah,
I probably couldn't have picked her out of lineup until today.
What what song did that Mariah the fantasy sample? What was the original?
Genius Time Club, right?
Time Club, right? Yep. You cannot Genius go wrong Love. With that beat ever. You cannot do wrong with that.
That sample.
If you're talking about beats, like literally, like that may be one of the top 5-6 ever, because you can't miss with that.
Well, I don't know, B. I'm not saying
it's a hit every time.
Yeah, but it hasn't been used that much. How many examples can you think?
Yeah, boy, at least 3.
Right, but I don't know if it's been more than that. But you're right. Like, you really can't miss with it.
You can't miss with that.
Yeah, no, you can't.
Yeah, it was. And then they, you know, I thought it was a nice little touch bringing out Old Dirty Bastard's son.
That was dope. Bringing out Mariah was dope too.
Mariah, because I mean, Mariah being there was big.
Okay, hold up.
Go ahead, Drew.
Does Mariah seem like she getting escorted out of every performance?
Hey, she's fucking royalty. Why not?
Well, dude. I think
she's not point, Diana Ross.
Well,
she's our generation, now, Diana Ross.
Drew, it's cool. It's like it's part of the show. It's like Goldberg walking in with the security guards. Like,
I get that.
You know what I'm saying? It's part of the whole appeal.
Yeah, but she definitely ain't gonna be doing no like real singing ever again. Like, just like every performance. I mean, look at. Ever since the New Year's Rockin' Eve debacle, she's like been just straight lip sync. You know what I'm saying? Like, not, you know, no kind of real vocals happening, because that just kind of like, you know, I don't know if that like shattered her a little bit or.
Wait, please remind me. It's vaguely remember, but I don't remember exactly what happened.
Yeah, so some years ago when she did. She was like the main act on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve, and her performance, she had an Omarion type performance.
Her voice did a million things that were not
okay.
Her voice started out with the negative and didn't go to the positive.
right, and ever like, since then.
But you know the thing with that is like we know Mariah can sing. Like she just had a bad day.
Well.
We've seen her live and do what she does too many times, so we know for a fact what she does and that she could do it. She had a bad day. Omarion, though,
we're gonna
get to him in a minute.
Because you know,
can I say real quick? I think Jack Harlow bringing Brandy out was pretty big too.
That was huge.
That was amazing, especially considering their recent. Back and forth.
Right,
exactly.
I have been pretty skeptical about Jack Harlow. B, I think you encouraged me to listen to something. And oh no, wait, what's the most recent popular song he did?
Church Showdown.
Okay, because I kept hearing about that song, so I decided to listen, and I was pleasantly surprised. And yo, like I'm kind of starting to like this kid watching that performance. That performance was dope as hell. So yes, bringing Brandy out, especially after their playful back and forth, was hella dope.
Can I say this real quick though?
Yeah,
I told you.
You did, and I'm like, I'm slowly coming around, and I might have to like this kid. So we'll see.
Jack's legit, man. Jack's worth it. Yeah.
He just came out of nowhere. It's just weird, but okay.
Most of these people come out of nowhere these days, CJ.
I guess.
Jodeci came out for the.
No, they didn't.
Exactly. No, they didn't.
Casey and Jojo
came out with a hype man.
It's not like they went out there without KC. I know Devontae wasn't there, but it's not like he carries. Well, I mean, he does like a lot of the musical stuff, but it's not like he carries the.
That's why I'm saying it's KC and JoJo plus a hype man. That's what I'm saying. I'm not giving them the title of Jodeci. That was KC and JoJo singing Jodeci songs with a hype man.
They're hanging in there. Listen, when I saw them recently at the
yo, they're like Daniel 60 concert, now, right?
But when I saw them at the New Edition Charlie Wilson concert recently, all of them were there. Drew, you were there too.
Yes,
they were all there, and they put on a good ass show. Like, I was not mad at them. Devontae was definitely still kind of out of it during the performance, but overall, they did a great job. But it was just interesting to see, you know, them on stage, and then Mary came out right behind them, and obviously we know Casey and Mary's history.
Is there still a restraining order on that?
Right. I know he exited the stage very abruptly.
I did not even think about that.
Yeah.
And when you said that, Dave, I still didn't put it together.
Yeah. They didn't bury the hatchet at some point, and like,
I think they might be cordial. Maybe,
yeah, like cordial, cool. I feel like I've seen a picture or something of them together since whatever. They did the song on her Mary album, so.
And they ain't performed it since the damn Unplugged in 92.
I mean, she definitely didn't paint him in a good light in that My Life documentary.
Album was about him. The whole album.
Yeah, right. But he worked on it.
Literally the best R&B album of the 90s, and it was about this nigga.
Shit, that's like Summer Walker and London on the, you know, on the London track. On
right.
You know what I'm saying?
By the way, I missed the old Summer Walker.
The old Summer Walker?
It's a couple Summer Walker joints like that before. She like, it feel like she switched her whole shit up. Cause like, it's a couple early Summer Walker joints that were really dope and on a whole different vibe than the shit that she's done with London and got super popular for.
Yeah. I did hear this last album she put out was just kind of sub.
I don't listen to Summer Walker, so.
Yeah. I mean, I like her music. She just, as a performer, to me, leaves much to be desired.
I don't like her new music.
Yeah. But, it was something else I was going to say about Jodeci. Oh, I recently watched the Martin reunion, and I thought it was funny, and we can touch on that later, too. But
I ain't watched it yet.
I didn't watch it yet.
Okay. Well, I won't. We won't talk about it then. But one thing I did want to say, if you don't mind me spoiling one thing for y'all, Martin did mention the Barnell Hill episode part two when he came out during Jodeci's performance. They didn't actually know he was going to do that. Like, Martin didn't tell
them. That makes
them.
It funnier.
Right. He didn't tell them that he was going to come out and start singing during their performance. So that little interaction with him and KC was like, you know.
But I feel like at a certain point, if it was some random person, then maybe they would have been a lot more confused. But after a few seconds, they would have had to realize that he was making it a bit. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Well, I'm sure they did.
KC started playing into it.
Right, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. KC, you know, once he realized what was going on, you know, he, which is great improv on his part.
Now I gotta go back and watch for the first couple seconds after he came and kind of stay there.
But man, it was a great show, and you know, learned a lot of different things about, you know, little tidbits and stuff in there. But anyway, back to the BET Awards.
So Mary Jodeci, so the Puffy tribute. Like, yo, first of all, I just tweeted
Shout out to Shine
for even doing it. Even like I like how he flipped his whole verse. Mostly,
he damn near like the president of Belize now, right? He's like,
right.
He's like
I think he is the president of Belize.
Okay, I thought he had some other type title, but he's pretty much
pretty high powered political or politician, I should say.
He definitely flipped Bad Boys in a dope way. Jasmine Sullivan won Best Female R&B Pop Artist Award.
Is that even a real award?
I know. I honestly thought they were just gonna give it to either her or it was somebody else that was in the category that I thought. I didn't think Ari Lennox was gonna get it, but it was somebody else that was in there. But Jasmine definitely well deserved.
And Jazz is still hot. She's on her award tour.
Yeah, definitely. She's been killing it. And you know, long time coming. I mentioned earlier in our chat that she had got off the grid for a little while, and she came back with a vengeance, man. So
do we go over the Puffy performance?
Oh no, we were getting depth through it. We weaved out of it for a second, but so yeah, Jodeci, Mary, Lox,
Kim.
And then Kim's performance.
Kim did
Kim.
No, but look, this goes back to the EBT awards, because what the fuck was that?
Kim lost her place.
Yeah.
And had to be reminded of where she was in the song.
She never caught her place. Even when at the end she tried to, and she was still.
No, she caught it.
She caught it. Her dance off.
It didn't look like it was. She didn't look like she caught it to me.
She caught it because Diddy said it to her.
Yeah, but
he told her what her.
She okay. Must have been the second time, because she got lost at the beginning of her verse, right. And Diddy caught her up to speed, and then she did her thing. They changed the beat. They put the No Time beat on. Huh?
I said, Dave, did you see what I saw? That she like at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
She messed up too.
Yeah. Okay. No. The same thing happened with Jodeci too.
EBT man. So like. The fuck?
But, okay, we already know the production was terrible.
But like top to bottom.
We get that, Teach, but let's face facts. Kim was just trying to get that dance off, that stupid ass dance off.
Yo, man, why you
gonna that's how she lost her place, bro. That's exactly how she lost her place in the song, because she came out there trying to do her little dumb dance, and then and I ain't gonna look, I ain't gonna hold you.
How y'all gonna hate on the dance? Y'all know that shit is iconic.
She had to do
Let me finish. I ain't gonna hold you. I was in the house doing it too, but it's still a dumb dance. That's what I was trying to say.
I'm not lying. She looks like Leprechaun and.
Yo, I'm more concerned about whatever she got going on. She had like a double BBL. What the fuck was that?
Nah.
Her butt looked like Stewie from Family Guy.
Yo, that shit didn't even look. It didn't even look comfortable. Like it didn't even look like she was comfortable walking.
Are you guys gonna body shame little Kim? It's horrible.
Yes,
I guess so. Cause no,
I tell you who I'm not gonna body shame. Lotto.
Lotto.
Never in life.
She won BET Award for Best New Artist, I think.
I literally had to Google her age just to make sure I wouldn't be in the creep.
How old is she?
23.
That still feels too y'all. Yeah,
it's legal. It's legal. It's
that's
legal.
That feels too.
She can buy liquor, my nigga.
that's great. That's all you. That's all you.
And nobody's trying to marry her. I'm just saying.
Wait.
This dude just said, "That's so you walk into a strip club, you will ask how old she is before you start."
Like, you don't even really do strip
before
clubs.
I look. I'm just saying in general, it's a hypothetical, my nigga. You go in there like, "How old are you?" Okay, I can look at you now. Like, no, she's grown. She's there. She's grown.
Man, yeah.
All right, man, you got it.
Lotto did the damn thing. Wizkid and Tim's. One best collaboration.
Yo, why was she looking in the audience like what was she waiting for?
I don't think she knew she won the first one.
Well,
she didn't know won the first one.
It looks like she was waiting on somebody to come up there.
Right. I think
was she waiting to see if he was there?
Right. I feel like she was like maybe she was like, well, it's customary that the person whose actual song it is
right.
So maybe I should hold off.
I think Dave is right. I think that's what it was, because she heard her name. She was just hesitant.
Right.
She started to get up and she sat back down.
Okay, but does that go back to production? Because how did they not even know each other were going to be there or no? Like, what?
Yeah. Well, the first of all, that's my fucking jam. Like, I've never been a dance hall, a reggae, or Afrobeats guy. But lately I've been in.
First of all, nobody has ever been an Afrobeats person. Yeah, that song came.
That's
all
true.
Of a sudden,
that's
and true. I think I've said this before on other podcasts. Everybody was calling people African booty scratches when like back in the day. Now everybody went up to this Afrobeats music.
Right. God, right. Yeah. Well, I think
that's fair.
Before that, Drew, the Joanna record was probably my go-to, but now this, that Essence joint is every time I hear it, like I got to dance, whether I'm in the car or wherever.
Wait, did we finish with Puffy yet?
Tim's album?
Yeah, her album. She got a couple songs that's dope too. So,
Okay, I'm gonna have to check her out. Shout out to Nigeria, by the way. We haven't finished with Puffy, man. I mean, the Kim Porter tribute was definitely touching.
I thought it was weird how he just made the song, he rededicated the song to Kim. In every reference to Big, he turned it into Kim.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why not? I mean,
well,
we know it's a big song, bro.
I mean, I don't know.
I thought about that too at the beginning, but then I realized like that verse in that song can apply to Kim if you listen to what the verse.
Yeah,
that.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
So it made sense.
He could literally, instead of saying Big, like no, he was able to convert it. It was just, I don't know. It just struck me as.
Yeah, it was the kind of hard, but you're not around. No, you're in heaven. That whole thing is non-specific for that particular verse. So, but I get it. I wasn't mad at that. I actually thought that was actually pretty dope.
Yeah, and then he also shouted out Craig Mack, Black Rob.
I didn't hear either one of those.
He did it while Faith and them were singing. He was in the background, like shouting out. Like people he's lost. So he named Big, he named Mac, he named Rob, he named all those guys. What I found interesting was that he did a shout out to Kim, of course. He shouted out Cassie in his speech. There was no mention of Young Miami.
Wait, I think somebody said on Twitter that he at one point he said something and he said period.
Period.
Was that for her? No. Like really?
That was his way of shouting her out.
That was his sideway shout out.
You know what? That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
It's bullshit because
you mentioned Cassie by name, who's a happily married woman. You mentioned Kim by name. You mentioned all these names. Why would you not say that name? Why would you give her a subliminal? That doesn't make sense. Right. That's bullshit.
Right.
He basically took Young Miami to the Hamptons and introduced her to everybody as his friend. that's my friend, Kirk Carisha.
That's keeping funky. Like, for real, if that's the case, that's bullshit because ain't no way you for just glance over that if you gonna name everybody and these people, you know what I mean? Like, but that's just that's just me.
Period.
that's very intentional. If that's the case.
Well, I don't know. Did y'all watch the interview? Did y'all watch the interview on Hey Carisha on her show with Diddy?
I saw clips. I didn't watch the whole.
I saw the clips. Right.
Okay. Yeah. We watched the interview. It was real interesting. Like she held his feet to the fire. It was basically like, what are we? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you describe our relationship as? You know, he did the whole dance, like.
Look, the dude don't want you.
So basically it was we fucking, but I ain't want to just, I'm not going to say more.
Right.
Exactly. Because I don't want to not fuck you, so
right. That's what it was.
We're gonna tap that around this question.
He bopped around that question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, like I said, like I felt this, I feel the same way, BA, because like you ain't thank her at all. You just said period. No, don't give me that period crap.
Yeah, I don't think that period. That's very intentional. If you thought to say period as a shout out,
how y'all
you
could have added her name. Listen, none of the other girls was there, obviously. And how y'all know that in their little relationship, whatever they got going on, maybe they just say that shit to each other every day, all day. So when he say it on that stage, maybe she know. Like, I mean, you don't know. I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate, B. I know you're familiar. So maybe, you know, we don't know for sure. Maybe that, okay. maybe she's fucking over the moon. He said that shit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, these young girls, you know, they probably just need like a little bit of like something like that just to get over. But okay,
yeah,
I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
I completely disagree, but okay, if that's how you feel, boy.
That's what I'm saying.
I totally disagree with that.
I'm just saying it's a possibility. I ain't saying that it is for sure. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Hey Dave, I need you to get a soundbite of Pebble's benefit of the doubt, because that's what teach do.
Benefit
of the doubt.
Oh my god.
You can run that shit to somebody else, but like we dudes though. We've been in relationships, but we know what the fuck just happened. Like, let's be real. Like,
wait, can we also address how like Jadakiss has a different look every time we see him? I mean, he be rocking the baldy. He be having like a half a fro.
He got the fat beef thing happening.
I think tonight he was rocking. What was Giancarlo Esposito's character in School Day's name? Big Brother Almighty. He was rocking his cut, and he had the glasses. He looked like he taught classes in Free Basin on the Foreman Grill, like. Jada was definitely rocking that new look.
And Styles ain't show up. What's going on?
Styles wasn't on Benji.
Styles ain't on the record.
What?
I feel like people don't know that we don't know what sounds that you got all in your arsenal. Like, we really be surprised with this shit.
I knew he had that one. He did that. This ain't
I don't
the
remember
that
one before.
Yeah. But yeah,
Styles wasn't on that record, so he didn't have to show up.
I
thought Total was gonna pop up for sure, but
that's who was missing. I didn't think about Total.
Carl Thomas could have popped up.
Man,
I mean, he did the hits.
I thought I heard a rumor 112 was gonna be there. They weren't there.
And so, you know what? That's a good thing.
Well, 112 isn't even 112
Hey, listen. Shout out, Sean,
right.
If you listen, 11, to Sean.
Right?
I damn sure ain't disappointed that 112 wasn't there.
What's it? What's it like called? 60? Is it 61? What's the number?
64?
64? I can't do math. What's 64. The number? Is it 56?
It's 56.
I can't do math, nigga. I'm dumb.
It's 56.
It's 56. I said 56 the third time. Yeah, it was my third guess, but I said it.
Like, the other two don't count at all?
Nah, nigga, no. They not in the group no more.
I know, but the replacements don't count?
Nah, hell no.
That was 56.
You can't bump them up to one to.
Nah, nigga, it ain't 56. It's 56.
That's like high five. Like, I don't think any of the members of High Five is in the group no more. Like, none of them.
I think they are. I think a couple of them are.
Nah.
You know what it is? It's like how nobody counts the 70 members of Drew Hill that came after the first four niggas. We don't count them other ones.
Hold on.
Well, Scola. We stopped to count at Scola. So five.
Nah,
it's five.
We're not going to respect Smoke and them, man.
Smoke and them was in fucking Cheers to You. Yes. You're not Drew Hill.
And wasn't the two dudes from InnerVision too?
No.
Listen,
no, I don't think so.
Listen. Let me speak to you. Let me speak to you in 2022 language. Smoke and them identify as player. You're not Drew Hill. You identify as a player.
Wait.
Drew Hill stops at Scola, and that's it. That's the end.
I got to go off on a tangent real quick about this since we're talking about, like, replacements and groups and stuff. I just recently watched a video yesterday about Jade, and I had no idea, like, they were, like, had been suing each other.
Wait,
Jade?
Yeah, just as recently.
Don't walk away from me, Jade?
Yeah.
Oh, is the light-skinned girl still in the group?
So, ain't no group, nigga.
Nah, ain't no group. But what happened was, long story short, the two girls, not Die, but
Joy and Tanya.
One, yeah.
Which one was the light-skinned one?
Tanya is the light-skinned one.
Okay, keep going.
That's the one from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, she from here?
Yeah. So they had tried to rekindle get it back together. And they ended up getting a new girl because originally Di was supposed to get down with it, but then because she's been doing like background with like Stevie Wonder and Rod Stewart, so she's been singing, doing live shows with them. And so when it came down to them, going back on the road and starting a tour again, the other two girls said they couldn't get a hold of Di, and so then they went ahead and moved forward, got a new girl. And then Die came back out the woodworks and was like, "Yo, I'm ready to hop on these dates." And then they weren't responding. And so, that happened,
how long ago was that?
This was recent as this year.
Oh man,
Die put out a cease and desist because I guess at one point they had purchased the rights to the name or whatever, so all of them had rights to the name, but Die had like shut the shit down and then messed up their touring and marketing, and so yeah, now they like suing each other. And
they should have just changed the name to Emerald.
What?
Change the name to Emerald and you get on that tour, goddamn it.
I think one of them, I think they had one of them did a whole TED talk about it. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
Yo, I hate to hear that. Like, yo, can't they just fucking work this shit out? Fucking make the same way what at one point they didn't in Vogue do some dates with so Cindy and Terry, of course, and Rona are now in Vogue, but at another
And who?
Rona.
She don't count.
Hey, come on. That's
she wasn't part of the original four.
But she,
you know what? She wasn't, but she's been in a group longer than the original four now.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Was she on video song? No.
Come on, man.
You don't count.
Anyway, TJ's point is Max and Dawn, for briefly put their differences aside.
And they came back and made some appearances at a performance or two?
Yep, with
Rona.
Why
the fuck can't Jay do that? Die, like, can they just, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, and Rona was like so why the fuck?
Oh, that's a horrible name to have now.
In the same way, New Edition. I didn't even hear what you said, B.A.
Rona, if you hear this episode, I have nothing to do with this.
B.A. I don't know if you know this, but Rona, the third member, she is a really good friend of both Dave and myself.
Hey, Rona, how you doing? It still don't count for me. I'm not going to back down from my statement. Although I do appreciate that. That's awesome. I mean,
okay.
But can you play the Nene? I said what I said.
Can't wait. We have to talk about one of your friends. We're going in.
But again,
oh my God.
For the Jay stuff. Yeah. I'll take. I don't give a fuck with 500.
See, in all seriousness,
you really hate everything.
In all seriousness, that may just be like one. We don't know everything that happened, or what the relationship is.
Now,
none of that.
Didn't y'all just get on me about
that was relationship? This is business. That was relationship. That was relationship. This is business.
The point is, B, we don't know everything. So you could be right in your point about this right now.
Drew, what about Moke and Steph? Do you care about Moke and Steph?
Let me think about that.
Drew, can I answer? Does anybody care about Moke and Steph?
Right. There you go.
Anybody lined up to go buy Moke and Steph tickets? No.
Right.
No.
Right.
Hey, man. I bet you. Okay. Yo, nigga. Yo. If we
and that's it. That's where it stops.
Hey. If we brought Moke and Steph to town, I bet you we can do a live, good, intimate ass show.
Yeah, with four people for one song. That's 1 minute per person, and then they go.
Nah. I mean, listen, B, I know they got one hit, but listen, all you need is one hit.
Ain't nobody coming to see Moke and Steph.
All you need is one hit, and they have their moment, and nobody's trying to check for it again.
Right.
Yep. Nigga, a hit is a hit. I bet you people would come out to see a hit.
A hit is a hit. Okay. All right.
Can I say a real quick hit in the world?
It would be part curiosity. It would be part curiosity. But they would also be coming to hear He's Mine live, nigga.
Nigga, ain't nobody about to pay for no tickets to go see Moke, bro.
Nah, I'm gonna let him get his off. Go ahead, TJ. You're right.
I will go. I'll pay to go see UNV. Something's on my mind. I mean, something's going on.
You don't even have a name of the song right.
But yeah, you ain't got no one hit wonders that you would go pay to see. Not a one.
I got one.
UMC.
I got
First off, that's not fair, Dave, because I will live the movie. I'm not paying just for them, though. They can't be the headliner.
They would be the headliner. I'm just saying.
You literally just said we got an intimate show with Moke and Steph.
I'm just saying. They
who's the headliner for an intimate show? And your question was, would I pay to see a one-hit wonder? Which means that's the headliner.
That's part of the show, nigga. They would be on a flyer.
I'm not paying to see them. I'm paying for whoever the headliner is.
Right. No disrespect. Right. No disrespect, because they got joints. I love both of their albums. And they actually are touring right now. But you know who kind of falls in a weird... No, it's a hip-hop group. But you know who kind of falls in a weird category? Diggable Planets. Because
I don't count them as one-hit wonders, though.
Yeah, but they're not like, obviously they put on a good show. They have a live band behind them. But at the same time, when you think of their songs, which are the two maybe that you think of off the top?
Nigga, of course, where I'm from, yes. And Nickelback of Funk, and of course, Rebirth of Slick. But
right,
like,
well, that's two, three.
But they got other joints.
Ninth Wonder is what I'm thinking of. That's what
right,
it's
right. Yeah. Right. But they had two albums.
But here's the thing. Let me stop y'all. And technically, to us, we wouldn't call them one hit wonders for those reasons. We like as hip hop heads, we enjoy those singles, right?
Right, right.
In theory, in the rest of the world, they are a one hit wonder because only Rebirth of Slick really popped off like that. The rest of those were strictly. Right. They're considered in theory one hit wonders to the rest of the world, not the people of our
ilk. I feel like they had a second top 40 hit though. Let me go.
They did not. No. Nah. Look it up. I don't think anything else went in top 40. Not like Rebirth of Slick.
Yeah. Nah. I'm trying to find out.
So the world will call them that.
Right.
So but us, we wouldn't. So I would not I wouldn't personally put them in that category because we just name four or five songs we all like and can agree upon. But if you had a one-hit wonder fucking concert tour, they would probably qualify.
Yeah.
But they tour on their own. They had, like, their audience.
That's not the point I'm making. That's not the point. What I'm saying is that if they're looking at what are one-hit wonders, they would be considered that because they had one top 40 a hit that really popped off like that. So that's what I'm saying. They would technically be considered a one-hit wonder.
And I wouldn't count Moke and Steph as a one-hit wonder.
I would.
No, they are one-hit wonder. But so the difference is Moke and Steph only had like that one album, I guess, and the one hit. Diggable Planets had to their audience had multiple hits throughout two albums, so they have a whole following that Moke and Steph never built up with this.
Yeah, but hit. That's a very specific audience. There are people.
2022. Why are we still talking about these broads? Over. Oh, Jesus.
Drew, let's do this. Drew, what can we talk about?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Drew, you work at a damn record store. How can you not appreciate these old artists? You work at Record Town, bro.
Nigga, Drew don't like nothing but Bad Boy and Rough Riders from the 90s at Rockefeller. That's it.
First of all, no, that's not true. It's the fact that we giving people Mokin' Step one hit that was out for like
listen, don't summer. Act like for the moment Mokin' Step wasn't part of the culture, Drew. Come on.
Part of the culture.
For the moment that joint was okay, so listen, when it was out, Drew, when it was out in like 95, you wasn't fucking with it on the radio or nothing?
Dude, I was a heterosexual male. No.
Wait, give me a second, y'all. Hold on. Drew, let me tell you something. Here's a little known fact about me. And TJ knows this. TJ, if I'm lying, please stop me. But 95, I was not the most R&B listening to type kid, right? Am I right, TJ?
Gotcha.
Very much right.
Gotcha.
But I still fucked with that song. That was a good song. Good music is good music. I'm heterosexual as fuck. Like,
the audacity during Pride Month at that.
Here's my thing, dude. It's other artists that was way better. Then why would I just like? We're talking about Mokin' Step in 2022.
But the point is, were you not even fucking with it then?
It was a decent song. It was a nice little lovey-dovey song, but I wasn't rocking it in the car.
Also, wait. If we being real too, that song was fucking, now if you think about it lyrically, it was fucking horrible. The concept of it is terrible. The fact that women were actually singing that and applauding that shit just say a lot. But other than that, it was a good ass song.
I mean, shit, they used to put cocaine in Coca-Cola. Like, times change, people evolved.
Really? Did you hear the words, nigga? Like,
yes, but I'm saying that was a very immature stance to take in that situation. He's mine. Well, you might have had him once, but like, that's a very immature ass. But listen,
we're talking about Mokin' Step in 2022. We really
do. But that's the point. Listen, you have a hit. They're going to talk about you forever. You could probably book shows on your hit forever.
Not on that hit.
That's the thing about having a hit.
Well, listen. Speaking of quote unquote washed up artists, this is a perfect transition. Unless are we done with the BET Awards before I move on?
Anybody got
anything to say about Ella May or Giveon?
I got one more thing to say.
Yeah,
Lotto.
Oh, and then somebody should revoke Giveon's record deal.
Anyway. Oh my god!
I gotta listen to this dude's music now because I've been hearing about him, but I've never listened to him.
I like his record, The Beach, and I like him on Peaches by Justin Bieber.
Okay, so Dave, you're somewhat familiar with some of his music. His performance was fucked up, right?
Well, so it appears now. This is another great transition to where we about to go. But at the beginning of his performance, you saw that he was very off key, and then he was like reaching. He was pointing at his earpiece. You know, if you watch a lot of singers and performers on these award shows, especially, they always had a little earpiece in their ear so that they can hear their music and, you know, hear their cues and stuff as they sing.
Right.
He was saying that something was off with his earpiece, which
it's his voice that was off.
Yeah. Yes.
I actually think I think JoJo was having the same problem because he wasn't hearing the beat well when he come and talk to me.
Yeah.
So I think JoJo was having it. No, I think he just wasn't hearing the beat well.
Right, but the difference was JoJo wasn't necessarily off key. He was singing in the wrong spot. Giveon was singing off key. But
yeah, I took the garbage out when Giveon came, so I missed that whole thing.
I'm not a vocalist, so I have heard hear yourself in those earpieces. You will sound off key, but I feel like as a singer, if you can really sing, you should just be able to sing. You know what I'm saying? But I guess if you're not able to hear the music, then maybe you might be singing off key. But I don't know. To me, it just sounded like he was sounding terrible.
It goes
if I had one wish, I would wish that.
So, yes. Versus.
Whoa, how are you there? Okay, cool.
Listen.
Thank God. I'm glad I watched the NBA draft instead of
yeah, I was watching the draft. So y'all gotta walk me through what happened.
So listen, Dave, did you watched, right?
Yeah,
I watched. Okay, because I didn't. I've only pieced together what I've and I, you know, I've seen a lot, most of it on the internet. So I've only pieced it together, but I didn't even watch.
Well, I shouldn't say I saw it in its entirety because it was on so late. I couldn't watch the whole thing.
But by now we all have the story.
Yeah. So
it was ghetto,
man. It was, it was. Matter of fact, I think somebody posted the Martin and Jodeci clips.
Yeah,
versus what?
That was the energy.
You know who had a great quote about it? Neo. Did y'all see what he said? No. Neo was basically like what you saw in Versus.
Why do we care what Neo says in 2022?
Because he's still relevant.
I'm sorry, B. Go ahead. What did he say?
So Neo basically said what you saw in that Versus was a singer versus a performer. And there's a difference. He said Mario sings. Omarion dances and he performs. But you saw the difference in there. And he was like, it's like certain things you just don't do. You don't dance battle with Chris Brown. You don't sing against Mario. And you don't battle me in songwriting. That's his quote.
Yo, did so we, like, okay, so listen. I know a couple of the Mario singles from the radio, but I can't say I ever listened like really to his album. Did we know that Mario was a singing ass nigga for real?
I did.
I did. Okay, absolutely. So I had no idea. But Jonta Austin also said pretty much the same thing you just said that Neo said. Like, you know, Mario's a singing dude and Omarion is a performer. And I'm just now getting hip to the allegations that Omarion really didn't even sing. Well, some of the songs he didn't even actually sing.
We all just got hip to that today because Jay Boog put us up on all that at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother thing. Before we get to the Mario and Omarion part, let's talk about the shit show that was the Versus. Was a bonus card or undercard or whatever they called it. Which was Ray J, Pleasure P, Bobby Valentino.
They bought the Washington Generals, the R&B.
Sammy.
And Sammy.
Sammy.
Now,
Sammy.
Sammy.
So Sammy. I feel like Sammy, like, you know, he like.
No. Whatever you finna say, the answer is no.
Hear me out, though. So, like.
Dave.
I can't name one Sammy song.
I need this dude.
I can't name one Sammy song. I remember that he came out when he was a kid. I think I got a promo of his first album, but I can't name any Sammy songs. But I feel like there's like two or three neighborhoods in Atlanta or maybe the whole Southeast, and Sammy is that dude there. Like, he's very, very fucking regional, but I couldn't tell you anything about
it. Think of that, two or three neighborhoods in Atlanta.
Maybe. Yeah. He got his very small, but apparently he's big wherever he's big at.
Now, I don't know if y'all saw this clip from backstage, but as soon as this was announced that they was doing this whole bonus, you know, R&B night or whatever, I was wondering why this dude wasn't part of it and why they didn't have him on there instead of Sammy. But did you see the clip? I think Bobby Valentino posted it where it was backstage and him and Sammy was talking shit to each other and, you know, goofing around. And then Lloyd pops up and says, both of y'all niggas better be glad I ain't participating. And that was my thought, too. I'm like, man, Lloyd got way more joints.
I would have rather had seen Lloyd versus Mario.
So wait, Dave, Lloyd walked up and said that, right?
Yeah.
No, he said, glad I didn't participate?
No. Yeah, y'all better be glad. Yeah. He said to Sammy and Bobby Valentino, he was like, both of y'all niggas better be glad I ain't going against y'all. And
so like, did he like get an offer and not take it? Did he feel like the money wasn't there?
I don't know, but he showed up. He was at, you know, he was there because, you know, a lot of niggas was backstage. You know, Tank and Jackie Long and all these, you know, different people were showing up. Brandy, of course, but if I would have way rather seen Lloyd participate than Sammy, you know, and
I'd rather see Lloyd and Mario. Why the hell you got a Mario on there?
Yeah, because Lloyd can sing his ass off too.
Mm-hmm. But remember, this is hits. So Omarion got a catalog, and niggas just apparently can't sing.
What's the point of having a catalog if you can't? Don't
matter. Can't sing.
Right. Because remember, Versus is about 20 hits. Remember?
I remember what it used to be about.
That's what it's supposed to be about.
It was that whole Versus undercard should have been called. I got a song. Y'all want to hear it? Here it go.
I told you my idea of what they should be.
What?
Yeah, it should have been Fetty Wap against Houston and call it I for Now.
He's like 10 years old, dude. Jesus.
Yeah, I am.
Man.
It would have been better than the crap that we heard and saw. Ray J, they clowned Ray J for one wish.
Yeah, so Ray J couldn't find a babysitter. Him and Princess couldn't find nobody to watch the baby. So he brought his baby on with him. Then he tried to throw the baby under the bus and said that.
It's hard to sing with the baby.
Yeah, it's hard to sing with the baby. Sammy and them was singing One Wish over and over again, way better.
Better than him, probably.
Listen.
But they was trolling him, right?
Yeah.
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 Listen, you know what? Ray J didn't sound good at all, but I am glad his performance happened because of the meme that people just keep putting different songs to of him dancing.
Yeah.
Have y'all seen these?
I have. Last one I saw was the one with the thing from Sanford and Son.
I saw James Brown get on up.
Yeah. But Bobby Valentino.
Ray J is one of the lamest dudes on the planet.
Out of the four of them, Bobby Valentino had the strongest catalog. Like he came out the gate with Blackberry Molasses, so you know what I'm saying? He shut the game down from the start with that one. Pleasure P was a close second. He definitely had a lot more joints than I recognized.
He went to his Pretty Ricky bag, right?
Yeah, he went into his Pretty Ricky bag, but then he low-key had some solo joints that were some bangers that I was never like a real, real Pleasure P fan like that.
What?
But
he had Boyfriend Number Two and what else?
Yeah,
Boyfriend Nigga, you can two, name a Pleasure P song?
He had that.
Ooh, good record.
That one.
He had the one.
That was a good record.
He had the one. It's a real popular club record that like it's like a popular strip club record, but they play it in the club too.
Shocked me.
It's funny to say it kind of reminded me of that damn Saucy Santana.
I had no idea that was a dude. I honestly did not know.
I only know because Jamila freaking loves him.
No. I say, here's the thing. It's crazy. I've heard that name, right?
Yeah.
And I heard the song. I never heard the two associated with each other. So when they said on the pre-show that Saucy Santana was going to perform, I was like, all right, whatever. Guess I'll finally figure out who this person is. And then they came out and did the song, and I was like, yo, that kind of fuck. I texted my daughter. I was like, yo, that's a She was like, "You ain't know, you couldn't tell." No, I couldn't tell.
Man, honestly, I low key didn't know Tim's was a woman.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I cannot think of this damn Pleasure P record. But man, when you hear it, because I didn't know it was him. Like when he started singing, I was like, "Oh shit, he sang that shit."
I'm sure he has other songs that I probably recognize. I just can't think of it offhand, but I know Boyfriend Number Two.
Yeah,
y'all grown ass niggas is listening to Pleasure P records.
He sang that to Brandy, by the way. Like he was like, "Yeah, I saw Brandy's backstage. Hey, I want to dedicate this song to you." And he went into Boyfriend Number Two. He was like, "I don't know if you dating nobody right now, but yeah, this song is for you."
Also, for the record, same rules apply as the woke and stuff shit. That the concept is pretty horrible.
Yeah,
it was a good record.
Oh yeah, Boyfriend Number Two.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm trying to be your side nigga. Basically, is what you're saying. Like,
yeah, we could probably make a "I'm trying to be your side nigga" playlist. That's a fairly touched upon theme, I think, in R&B.
Starting with Carl Thomas's "I Wish."
Also, besides,
that's not "I Want to Be Your Side Nigga" song.
It's close.
It is. It is. "I Want to Be Your Side Nigga" song, but it's also "I Want to Be Your Side Nigga," but you curving me because you're gonna stay with your family.
I'm not getting "I Want to Be Your Side Nigga" from that. I'm getting.
He's telling you how he was in love, but now he wish he never met you because you want to stay with your family and not be with him. He literally said that. It hurts because she doesn't want to be with me.
Okay, I get that, but that's not about side nigga. As the only person on this goddamn podcast who's ever used the phrase "I'm putting my family back together," I understand that song. It's not coming from a side nigga perspective. It's coming from "I was fucking with you, but I don't want to fuck with you no more because I want to go back to what I had." And that was her doing that to him. So it wasn't side nigga. It was rebound or next nigga, and I'm canceling you to go back to what I had.
I mean, I guess it's, listen, art, you can look at different perspectives, but the popular I won't even say the popular perspective, but you can have your perspective, but some of us have a perspective. He's definitely a side nigga, and he's hurt that she's choosing to stay with her family over him.
Or?
Because he knew she had a fucking family and kids. He already knew that shit. And he was with her. Now, that nigga, that's a side nigga. But she chose to be with her family.
No, that's still not side nigga. That's still not proof of side nigga.
All right.
That's still not proof of side nigga. I'm just saying, how many people have you smashed that had kids and you knew they had kids? That don't make you the side nigga. Because you know they got a family.
She was married.
Okay. Wait, TJ, you of all people, did you just make that point?
Nigga, now you're talking about what a side nigga is, and you're saying he's not a side nigga in his home.
You're missing what I'm saying. What did you just say? She was married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to rewind my statement. You of all people, are you going to make that point?
What does that have to do with me?
Babe, Drew, are y'all hearing me? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying without saying it?
Why are you putting me in this? What I got to do with it? We're talking about the song.
I'm talking about... You're making the point.
I don't even know where you're going, but what's this got to do with me?
He got the tea.
We're talking about what makes a side nigga, right?
I'm talking about the song.
Okay, in the song, that's we're arguing about in the song whether he is a side nigga in the song, right?
I'm simply saying I don't think he's the side nigga. I think she was in a relationship.
Listen, and I'm saying that he is, but again, it's a song, it's art, we can have different perspectives. Let's leave it at that.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey Dave,
yeah.
We go through this once an episode.
We're not going through anything.
Listen, one episode. Listen, going back to what I was going to say, not only was it terrible singing and just nonstop shenanigans, that pre-verses went on for at least two damn near 3 hours. The dancers.
Let me ask this, Dave. I'm going to cut you off. The pre-versus thing they did, the Bobby V and Sammy,
yeah.
To TJ's point, Versus is supposed to be about 20 records. Yeah. How many? What they do? How many did they get versus the two like main attractions?
I feel like the four of them had 20 records each. That's how long that shit went on. Wow. I'm not even kidding. That's what it felt like.
Them niggas don't have 20 hits combined.
They did. They did. Well, you know, they did the hook on some Gucci mixtape song nobody heard outside of the Southeast. Right. Like, so they, you know, they did a lot of their features or associated songs, I'm guessing.
Ray J did the least amount of records. I was mad he didn't do Formal Invite.
Did he do I Hit It First?
He didn't do I Hit It First.
Damn it.
Was that a real record, though?
That was a real record.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a whole video
for it. Oh, that was the real song.
And then he snuck in. He snuck in one of his fucking artists. You know, during what? During
that boy is always promoting. So.
And now, you finna get the Millennium Tour 17?
Yep,
exactly. Coming out of this.
Wait, did he
sponsored by Raycon? He did. Young Bird came out.
Did he do Wait a Minute?
He did Wait a Minute. That was the first song he did.
Young Bird was there.
Uh huh.
Did he get beat up?
Did he get his chain snatched?
Think he didn't get beat up there?
Snatched. He didn't get beat up. But nah, he came on and did Sexy Can I with Ray, and I think even he was clowning Ray after the fact for not hitting them notes. And then Jeremiah, because
he didn't drink Brandy's tea. Brandy told his ass to go on vocal rest and to drink the tea, and he didn't either.
So didn't. But dude, Jeremiah came out, and I hate to talk about one of our own. But
just doing our crib, just making the crib look bad.
We just talked about one of our own.
Man, yeah, but
Young Bird, we just talked about this.
Yeah,
but to be fair, Drew,
I guess. I mean, everybody disrespects Young Bird, so it's not like not like it's us.
Hey, but he hit maker right now, so
he hit.
So much so that he changed his name. Yes,
his face is a hit maker.
Man, so you know, and we'll get to Omarion and Mario. You know, of course, when these happen, of course, all of the other verses things come out. So recently, if you saw Drink Champs, Chris Brown was on there, and he said he's definitely open to doing a versus against Usher. Please make
that happen. That's the only one that makes sense.
That's the only one that makes sense.
Oh my God. Please make that happen.
The only one that makes sense. I would have said Kells if Kells was available, but he's away. Yeah. So Usher's the only one that makes sense for Chris Brown.
He's away.
You know how when you got a family member and that's locked up and they be like, yeah, he out of town. He's away.
And
then Donnell Jones hopped on his Instagram and said he'd like to go against Joe. So
I would think Donnell Jones versus A-Font would be a better.
Or John B, maybe.
David Hollister?
No. All the same. Okay. All right. All of those could work.
But I feel like Joe, because, you know, him and Joe are both strong songwriters. So they could go on
I feel like Joe's got a bigger bag, though.
Yeah, but.
I would put Joe against, like, a Tank.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Tank ain't even got that bag. No, I don't think. I think Joe's bag is bigger than both of theirs. Donnell and Tank can go against each other, maybe.
Nah.
BA, name me two Tank songs.
Why do I need to?
Because you need a bag. I don't think Tank got.
I'm not going into chat at all. I'm just thinking about who I'm matching him up based upon style of music.
I think Tank got it, TJ. I think he got it bad.
You think who, Tank?
Yeah.
He gonna do shit that he wrote for other people or some shit?
Probably. You just said all things. We just said everything else counts, right?
It's gonna happen.
Right. I think he totally could.
What else we got?
I mean, shit, he got You're a Star. He got Emergency. He's got
I'm not doing this, bro. What do Sammy got?
He got
right. Exactly.
I can't name any Sammy.
Exactly. You got two more songs than Sammy got, and Sammy just did a versus.
But so, go to fucking Atlanta and ask somebody. They will name your ass.
Okay, 12. But that ain't my point. Go to DC and ask somebody about Tank. They'll name 12 songs. It depends on who you ask, right? My point is, if Tank can do a versus.
Yeah.
Just not against Joe.
I think he can.
Yeah, but I definitely want that Chris Brown usher to happen. That needs to happen ASAP. So,
and you know what? Hold up, before we get off that Chris Brown thing, real quick, I got in there because there's been a couple of people that I've seen on social media. The people who saying that Chris Brown is better than Michael Jackson, he dad looked.
Well, Chris Brown dated that too in that Dream Champs interview.
No, because I told this person that, and he said no. Chris was just being humble. No, Chris was being real.
Nah, It's just the youngsters that have absolutely no.
You know what kills me about kind of what Drew just said. Like, you know how the man said it out his own mouth, right?
Yeah,
and then the person who don't want to believe it, he just being humble. Nigga, he said
right.
Talk about trusting what he just said. If he said it, he said it.
Right.
Jesus Christ. That ain't what you meant. What the fuck you tell me what I mean about me, nigga? Anyway.
Yeah. Right.
That's just a pet peeve.
Mario and Omarion. Mario chose violence.
And he deserved it, and he got it. And man, I applaud him for that, because Omarion is trash.
Mario went in. Like he held nothing back. He talked about Omarion's ass. He talked about Jeremiah's ass. And how trash they were sounding.
Okay, but wait, when did he lie about any of them niggas?
Never. Like he was ruthless. And you know what was funny is he started off the verses by bringing out three dudes who look like B2K, and then he had them all doing that Mario dance. Yeah.
Which was hilarious.
Right. He just came out the gate.
He came to battle for real.
Yeah. He came out and then they did the Mario Omarion challenge dance or whatever, and then they went into that whole remember routine and you got served when they like turned into a statue and it was like moving all their arms and had and them hold up the middle finger. So he had them do that, and which was dope. But then from that point on it was just like, you know, and again I forgot how many songs Mario had too. And he just was like, you know, it was fun, but at the same time it was brutal. And then
I'm sure he did Break Up, right?
Yes. But
that's my shit.
Wait, but that's a Mario song, Break Up?
Yeah, Mario. Yeah,
I only know Just a Friend and what's the one Neo wrote?
Let Me Love You.
Let Me Love You. Those are only two Mario songs I even know. What is
Break Up? Break Up was what's the other, what's the guy, what was the writer dude who was singing? What was the Sean Penn?
Sean Garrett.
Yeah. He was on there. Did I say Sean Penn? Damn. It was Sean Garrett was featured on that on Break Up.
And so was Gucci, wasn't it?
Gucci was on that too. Yep.
Yeah. Got Braid My Hair. Braid My Hair. That's my
joke. Okay, I remember Braid My Hair too.
Fresh Pair of Nikes.
Nope.
He had another song about, but it was about braids, but it was him braiding a girl's hair.
was it like a battle? Oh, I mean,
was it
like
Let Me Braid Your Hair?
Did he have a Just a Friend song?
Yeah, that was his first single ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, Mario can sing, and he sang his ass off.
Yeah.
But he still won technically, and but Omarion of the two has the bigger catalog.
Yeah, but
Mario got a song called "Thinking About You" is dope.
Yeah, But here's the other key thing. Mario did not decide to eat watermelon on stage with his brother.
That was weird.
And then here's the thing too,
TJ. I understand what you're saying as far as the original essence of verses, but they're not on that no more. It's like a perfect example. The Locks against Dipset. The biggest moment of that whole thing was Jada's freestyle. That wasn't a hit.
Yeah.
It was the performance.
It's more of a show now.
So that's what you're looking at with this one. It just happened. It was the performance aspect. It's not so much about who had the big hits. Because if you're looking at it on paper, yeah, Omarion's going to have more big records. But now, can you get on stage and actually do it. You know what I mean?
I accept that. That very much seems to be what it is. So I can dig it. I can dig it.
But I'm low-key pissed about this Juelz and Memphis Bleek battle.
Yeah, that's really
happening. So, listen, really y'all, I have more interest in that than this one that just happened. I literally did not care to stay awake to watch this Mario Omarion. But I think that's
Omarion and Mario really were kind of past our era.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Y'all just named Mario songs I didn't even know existed.
That's the point I'm making. I'm explaining why you weren't interested versus why you would be more interested in Bleek verse.
Just because I know their music more and I have more interest.
That's the point I'm making.
Yeah. You said past our era. Like, which y'all wasn't listening, though. Y'all was listening.
Which is weird because TJ...
Bro, are you just trying to start a fight? Like, I'm literally saying...
PJ said, I hate all verses, which is weird. And I will watch the Juelz and Bleek one because I'm interested in that one.
The only reason why I don't like that one is because we just saw Juelz with Dipset. Like, I feel like somebody else should go against Bleek.
I think this all started from Juelz and this conversation on Drink Champs. Mm. And somehow that came up and Bleek's name came up. And Juelz started saying, he said something about it. And that it kind of snowballed from there to like, okay, we'll make it happen.
They should really keep it their solo albums, though.
Yeah.
Especially Juelz, since he just did Dipset shit.
He's going to have a problem. He did more than Dipset shit. He did some of his own shit at the at that verse. Yeah. So he's going to have an issue that we already heard these records. And are you going to perform them better now versus, like, I told y'all, Bleek got a better cosign. So Bleek got records that are technically on his album that he ain't even on that were popping. Like, Bleek just played Dear Summer. He ain't got to say nothing. Just play it.
Yeah.
It's his record.
You know what now? And then this just popped in my head, that part, that that scene in backstage where Ja was like,
Blinky saying, Blink.
He's scared of Blinky Blink. Like, that just popped in my head.
Oh man!
So Juelz gonna have a hard time just because, again, Juelz was a moment, but he doesn't. You don't have enough to do like.
He was a needle mover.
Yeah, like okay. Let me say it this way. I understood Jada doing two verses battles, right? You did your solo catalog, which is cool, and then you did the Locks catalog. Juelz, you already leaked your solo catalog into your Dipset catalog. You know what I mean? Like, y'all had a moment for you to do your solo stuff, and the crowd wasn't for it.
Well, how much solo stuff did he do, though?
Who, Juelz?
Yeah.
He don't win then?
Like, how many of his solo songs did he touch
Probably.
I know he did Clockwork.
Yeah, yeah, he probably did two. I think he did. What's that? Juelz Dip Santana set. What's that one? I think he did that.
Yeah,
he did that, and he did Clockwork. But here's the thing: that's two bullets you can't fire, and those are two of your biggest bullets.
Yeah.
Listen, if Nas can rhyme over the same beat three times on three different,
it's not gonna be the same. It's not gonna be the same, bro.
Who says? I mean, you don't know. We gonna find out. Have we seen that before?
How many? So listen, do Juelz have 20 solo songs by himself?
No, nigga, I know that. I'm just saying he might be able to. you recycle those two songs because we don't know.
All right, you got it. Goes over. You win.
But he doesn't have 20 songs, and so I absolutely think Bleak will take him in that as far as song for song. Now, who gives a better performance? We'll see.
No.
Yeah, they funny with their shit talking though. Joel told him he got to do only new songs you wrote. But Bleak told that nigga you can only do what you tell him, only do your own records. Like, don't do none of that dip shit. You got to do your own records or whatever. These dudes, they was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. That one I'm gonna watch. Yeah, I'm definitely looking at that one.
So you know, just when we thought that the Republicans couldn't stoop any lower, and you know, just show how they have absolutely no moral compass whatsoever. The Supreme Court, which we knew was coming, finally overturned Roe versus Wade after 50 years, and are now trying to tell women what to do with their uterus. And it's you know, it's just yet another sad day in America with a triple K's history. And taking the country backwards, and it's probably just the beginning of more shit to come.
Yep.
Yeah, man. I mean,
they're not stopping there. This is the first of many. They finna do. See, let me tell you what I've been kind of looking at and kind of feeling some kind of way about, I guess.
Yeah.
I understand the seriousness of this issue, right? Let me start with that. But I'm seeing a lot of people, specifically women, kind of blaming men for this. When I'm not seeing, I guess the point I'm making is I'm not seeing anybody really with this kind of anger towards Amy, what's her name, Amy Coney Barrett?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A woman who voted for this.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I feel like we're misplacing a lot of anger because that's who we should be angry at, as opposed to like we're doing a lot of, you know, men doing, and I get that, but let's also look at, y'all got a traitor amongst y'all midst, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's addressing this. Like, so I think that's a big concern for me.
You're talking about Amy Coney Barrett specifically?
Yes, she voted for the goddamn overturn.
Okay, she's a conservative judge.
I understand. I'm talking about women saying that this is men when there is a woman who voted for this to happen.
Who is saying this is men? This is conservative religious right.
TJ, do you have social media?
Yes, and who the fuck is who's specifying men?
It's a lot of women that's saying the men.
They're not talking about the whole conservative.
No, they're saying men. They're saying men, bro.
Who the fuck are y'all following? What?
Yeah.
Dave, have you seen this? Anybody speaking like this?
I am. I honestly have not, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, it's believe it or not, TJ, there's a whole, you know,
bunch of men out there. Because how could you, like, it's like As far as these conservatives and these quote unquote pro life and anti abortion, like, there's a lot of women over there. So there are women that think like this. She is a conservative judge. That's why she was placed there.
We know why she was placed there. That's not the point, though. The point is they're saying it's literally people in the world who are saying that this is because of men.
Just dumb.
What I'm saying is that they should also be addressing the woman who voted for this.
That's okay. Whatever. That's just whatever. Okay.
So anyway,
Go ahead. I'm just saying, like, obviously, if anybody is to blame, if we're going to place direct blame, I just think people really fail to realize the consequences behind a fucking 2016 election, and that this twice impeached president got to place a fucking third of the Supreme Court. Like, that's where all this shit obviously goes back to.
Yeah. And don't forget when RGB died, they rushed to get that one.
Yep. Because the fucking Democrats have been pussy about fucking governing since, I don't know, whenever. Whenever the Republicans get in power, they fucking are ruthless and they set their shit up. They fucking gerrymandering districts. They're fucking putting all these conservative judges in the lower appellate court so they can work their way up. And then when the Democrats get in power, they fucking kumbaya and trying to do things across the aisle and shit, and they just don't get shit done. But when the fucking, listen, when, was it Scalia died during Obama's last year? It was like 8 months before the election, and fucking Mitch McConnell was running the Senate. He was the Senate majority. He fucking stopped the Merrick Garland's nomination to go through for the Supreme Court, talking about it's 8 months to the election, lame duck president shouldn't get to pick. Let the American people pick in the upcoming election. But when fucking RBG died 6 weeks before this last election, they pushed that bit. They pushed Coney Barrett through. And in 6 weeks, when he told Obama 8 months is not enough time, but in 6 weeks, when the Republicans get the shit, they are fucking ruthless. When
the thing is. This all comes down to not just the 2016 election, but elections in general. Or, you know, I'm not arguing. I'm just making a point. Let me just make my point. I'm not fighting you. I'm not disagreeing with anything you just said. I'm simply saying that people need to get out and start voting, because now you have issues where this means that this it's not federally protected anymore. But there are states where, like Illinois, for example, it's up to the states now. So now that means it's up to the people who are electing the officials in these states.
Yeah.
So
you're voting. Right. I'm stressing the importance of voting in general, specifically midterm elections, where you vote for these judges and you vote for these governors and these state officials, because we as a people tend to skip out on those.
You're absolutely right, B, and you're absolutely right. But we just cannot not realize the importance of fucking 2016.
Right, but we can't go backwards. You can't fix 2016. You can fix going forward. You're absolutely right.
But we still have to remember how the fuck we got here. Because
I get it.
Here's the big issue, though. Like, I literally was just reading that, like, more than 1 million voters have switched to GOP in like suburban America. So you have a whole. Like, we know what this whole abortion thing is about, right? It's about control, and it's about assuring the white race continues, because
they simply must be precautious.
Yes. So that's all this is about. Like, you know, because that, you know, everybody's been posting that clip from when George Carlin was talking about conservatives and, you know, them, you know, worrying about unborn children, but once they're born, they don't give a fuck about you. You know what I'm saying? Which is why Carlin was such a fucking genius comedian. But you know, it's we're in very dangerous, scary times, because on one hand, you know, some people are saying, well, in the long run, you know, this is going to hurt the Republican Party, but I think we're still in a time where we have people who are so delusional that they'll vote against their own self-interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always.
They'll vote against their own self-interest because they just want to have conviction in what they believe, even though you're telling them what they're telling us what they're going to do. And it's like, I think it was that movie They Live, where people was with Roddy Piper, like when people was watching the TV or whatever and getting hypnotized.
The subliminals, with the glasses on and now you can see the real shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's that whole type of situation, man. So I feel like I don't necessarily feel like this is gonna hurt
Republicans. I used to think that way, but until Donald Trump came along. But, you know, he's God to them. He's God. Like, you know, these conservative Christians can talk about God all they want, but they don't believe in God. They believe in Donald Trump.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what else pissed me off? Yeah. Their reasoning when it was like the language of the Constitution that, as it was originally written. You know how that what that Constitution said about me when it was originally written? Like, are we going to do like everything from the 1700s now because the Constitution was like, come on, bro. Like, I don't give a fuck about that document that was written by, you know, people who didn't even see me as a human. So.
Well, yeah, especially when you know, they're so hung up about guns, which actually kill people. But now you want to tell a woman what she can do with her body.
We act like the Constitution can't be amended either. Like, they're you can ratify that motherfucker, right? It's happened numerous times. They added prohibition and then took it out with a different amendment. You've changed this shit multiple times.
You can also amend it at the state level.
Mm-hmm. Also expand the fucking court.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know if that's true, but I'm hearing that Biden is not necessarily for that.
Oh yeah, I saw a quote that said he's not for that, but that's what I mean. By the Democrats being pussy and not doing what they can do and to set this shit up like it needs to be done, because the Republicans are ruthless as fuck. And yes, but you can expand the court. It's not like it's unheard of to expand the court. The court has been expanded at least 3 or 4 times since its creation. So like it's not unheard of.
Yeah.
So you have to go up, bump it up to 11 then, right?
You could fucking go up to 13.
Same.
I mean, yeah, to 11. Okay, so it's 9 now.
Well, yeah, it has to be an odd number, is what I'm saying.
I don't know, because sometimes it's even. Like, it has to work when it's even. For instance, you know, when...
But how does it work when it's even if it's... So if it's... It's 4 justices and they vote 2-2. How does it just not...
Because when they first started the Supreme Court, it was 13, because based on 13 appellate courts, that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 13.
And then it like up to 13. Over time have shrunk it, and then but sometimes I can't even tell you how it quite works when it's even, but I know there's been a couple of times when they've had to decide on stuff while they were in between waiting for a new one to be confirmed, and they've issued some rulings. You'd have to look it up. I don't know how it worked, but it's happened. So it doesn't necessarily always need to be an odd number, but I think obviously that's the preference. But sometimes they do work when it's even.
And here's another thing. It's like America, well, the conservative Americans hold the Bible and the Constitution in the same vein, and it's not.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah.
You know the funny thing about that, Drew? The Bible's been rewritten a bunch of times. So
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
That's been rewritten. It's been 1,000 versions of that. And here's the other part. Here's the ill part. Let me fuck y'all with some truth. Not everybody follows that Bible. It's not. There's multiple religions. True. Like, why you gonna literally make a Muslim person follow what your Bible says? Like, that's not. Now you hinging on freedom of religion.
Right. That division between church and state is getting real cloudy now.
Nigga, fucking Supreme Court just ruled that churches can get federal funds for schooling. Like, they did the Roe versus Wade shit was the cake. They did like 5 things this last week.
That's not the icing. That's the tip. This is the beginning of a bunch of shit that's going to be repealed and rolled back.
Right. Right. And then fucking Uncle Clarence Thomas.
You talking about Steven from Django? Okay.
Yeah. He's talking about, you know.
He wants to do away with gay marriage.
Yeah, he wants to do away with gay marriage.
And making contraceptives available or some shit. It was something else he wants to roll back. And then the fucking Corin punk ass in Texas was talking about roll back the, the Plessy versus the one that ruled about separate but equal. and they want to roll back fucking Board of Education. They want to roll back all this shit. Nigga, they will literally put our asses back in slavery if we let them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I ain't going.
First of all, I'm about to get my passport back. I'm going to get my
I'm staying right the fuck here, and I ain't going.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. And somebody also said, too, like, he going to repeal, he going to mess it up where his marriage ain't going to be legal no more for Clarence Thomas.
No, he's not fucking, he's not fucking with the, what is it, Browning? No.
Loving.
Loving, yeah. What? Yeah, he's not fucking with that case. Of course not. Because,
yeah.
Dude, oh. Like, he shouldn't even be, he should have been removed from the court. His fucking wife tried to overthrow the government. She was fucking funding, helping some of the January 6th shit. She's been fucking spreading, like, he shouldn't even be on the, his wife tried to overthrow the government.
Dude, Anita Hill tried to tell us, bro.
Anita Hill tried to tell us. Fucking 30 years
ago. And don't forget, what's the other nigga name? The rapist. What's the nigga name?
Which one, nigga? Like,
right.
It's a couple of them. I'm talking about the most recent one.
Kavanaugh. Also, fuck Susan Collins. Fuck Joe Manchin. Because they ass is acting all fucking surprised that these motherfuckers got up and doing those confirmations and said that Roe versus Wade is settled as far as it. And then as soon as they got in the fucking court, they overturned that shit. Oh, I can't like.
If that ain't the biggest crack of shit,
nigga, that shit. Oh, that shit makes me want to strangle somebody. Like, they're really acting shocked and gasping that they fucking over. Like, what do you think they were put there for?
Yeah,
and that other thing is, let's not forget about this basic boy that was downstate talking about, you know, thank you Donald Trump to bring it white life.
Yeah. And now her spokesperson talking about she misspoke. Bitch, you didn't misspeak.
She said she was talking about saying, well, right to life or whatever. No, bitch. If anything, it was a motherfucking Freudian slip because you didn't correct yourself after you said it, and the motherfucker surely applauded to it.
Yeah,
right.
So, no, your take back, we're not taking your take backs.
Well, it's the handmade tale, right? That's what the... Right.
That's what it's
called.
Yep, the Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
T.A. Raz told us about this in Nature of the Threat a long time ago.
Hmm.
He really did.
That man's a genius.
Yeah, everybody, stay woke, stay active, keep the pressure on their ass. Like, don't let these motherfuckers, like, sleep at night because, you know, this is gonna be just the beginning. And you know, they about to try to take it back to, you know, their good old days.
You know the problem, Dave? I have zero faith that people are going to do anything that you just said.
Yeah,
I think you give us about 2.5 weeks, and it's going to be not even an issue anymore. We're going to be talking about, you know, who fucking Kylie Jenner is fucking. That's going to be the big news story, and people are going to just act like this didn't happen.
Yeah,
which is sad.
You're right.
You're 1,000% right, bro.
Yeah, I mean that. You know, again, all of this was a plan and a design. You know, for all of this, you know what I'm saying? Social media included. You know, how do we distract people?
Yep, they got them off. They got us off the gun thing. Did this.
Yep.
So yeah, so, this is how the world is.
We're going to have these little quick little cute little catchphrases. A gun has more rights than a woman. Well, what the fuck are you going to do? You ain't going to do nothing. And that's the part that pisses me off. Nobody's going to fucking do anything.
Right. Yeah.
And the ill part is we're recording this. What time? It's literally Monday morning now.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's the fucking election.
Yeah.
So if y'all really about that shit, get y'all asses to the poll tomorrow and go fucking vote. When they going, it's gonna be ready by tomorrow, Dave. Get y'all ass to the polls today and go fucking vote if you really about that action.
Go fucking vote. Listen, voting is important. Like, I know sometimes that shit don't seem every fucking election going forth is important as fuck. Go vote. Period.
That's the point I'm making. Like, they and it's going to be lost on so many people. Like this, I don't think this. They ain't gonna get it. They're not gonna get it.
No, till they get it.
Until they get it. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's face fact. This generation is just recency. They got a lot of recency by bias. That's all it is. They don't remember nothing from the past. They don't. They just want to be in the here and now. And the here and now, they forget about everything in like 5 seconds.
The fucked up thing is, you're not conserving life. You actually are putting people with life at risk with this shit. Because now you're gonna be
right.
It's gonna be a motherfuckers getting kicked down stairs. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It's gonna be all kind of coat hangers. It's gonna fucking be at an all time. Like, it's about to be an issue that they didn't even consider when they did this shit. Because honestly, you can't take somebody's. I'm sorry. Other thing, these companies now that are like, we'll pay for your the cost of the travel expenses if you want to go get an abortion. That's a beautiful thing, but I shouldn't have to tell my job my medical situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't have to give them that information.
Right.
So now we fucking towing a very, 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 very thin line. Like, now you got me kind of, bro. It's a lot.
Dude, yeah. What if you're in a state where you fucking married and some dude rapes your wife?
Mm-hmm.
She gotta have that kid.
Yeah. Like, dude, like that shit is fucked up, dude. This shit is so fucked up. Like,
there are women who have like tubal pregnancies where it has to be aborted, otherwise that woman will die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that this is not a game. They literally playing with people's lives. Like, I get it that you have to, it's up to the states, but that's what I'm saying. The importance of voting for y'all representatives, as it's never been more important now. If this is like you, I'm be quiet. Let me just shut up. Y'all go ahead.
Yeah.
No, you right, man. I get it. I definitely get it. This is end of days, bro. That's all I can say.
Yeah, between all the violence and the Wild Wild West that's going on, and you know, it's the government versus the people. It's right. On that note.
But wait, I just want to say, end this on a positive note.
Yeah.
Lotto.
When in doubt, you know,
Lotto.
Lotto.
Bet on the Lotto.
Bro. So, There's
it's
fucking Snot Lathan. No, I'm still pissed at her. No. I got a real problem with Snot Lathan this week, and I don't. it's not even it's her fault, but yeah, we got beat.
I love Snot Lathan.
I love her too, but not this week. This week I'm pissed off at her. Because they keep showing it, and I keep she played a horrible person. Like,
I gotta watch The Family That Prays again, because I haven't seen it in a while.
Bro, she plays the most horrible, most fucked up person. It's so hard to like her this week. Listen, I've seen that movie plenty times before, but I watched it 3 times this week, so I'm in a bad place with Snot Lathan right now. How dare you? How dare you fucking... Oh, okay.
Man.
Well, all right, sorry.
That's how you know she's a good actress, because, I remember leaving out that movie like, oh my God, she's such a bitch.
Like, I'm so mad at fucking Snot Lathan right now. Played the shit out that role. On a future episode, because I know we late on time, and it's late as fuck. On a later episode, we got to talk about maybe like actresses or actors who played a role so good it made you not like that person.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And that would be
like fucking what's the nigga name? Steve Harris.
Yeah, yeah. What?
Well, oh yeah, I can't stand that nigga.
I was also gonna say Taraji in that movie with Morris Chestnut, Not Easily Broken. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Oh, she was fun.
Yeah, she was horrible in there.
No, I take it back. It's two different movies with Taraji. That one, Not Easily Broken, and the one where she, Acrimony.
Oh, yeah. Acrimony. Dude.
Oh, nigga, you know who leads the world in this category?
Ooh.
Like, if I see this nigga, I don't even have to see the movie. I don't like this nigga when I see his face. He only played one role where I liked him. And everything after that, Michael Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Beach, bro, like, he might be the coolest dude in the world, but this nigga's characters...
Like, oh, you man. Son of a bitch.
Bro, after Lean On Me, everything this nigga did, you have been a problem and a menace.
Yeah, he was that go-to guy for a minute.
I was rooting for him at Lean On Me, like Mr. Darnell, like, bro, but after that, like, no.
Especially when he flipped the desk over.
Right.
When he
was over. Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Darnell was the nigga.
I was picking up a piece of paper.
He was that nigga. But after that, bro, when he started fucking Terry's cousin and all that, nah, bro. Like, come on, man. Don't like this nigga, bro.
He could actually use the same excuse when he was fucking Terry's cousin. I was picking up a piece.
That's fucked up, Drew. That's horrible. Don't condone him with you. Like... badass, like instantly, if I'm watching a movie and he shows up, he's the villain. He's the fucking villain.
Oh, so you couldn't stand him in Aquaman? You cussed him out, huh?
I'm telling you, he's not a great actor, but goddamn, boy, these characters you be picking to play.
This has been another episode of On the Serious 33 and a Third podcast. We appreciate y'all for checking in with us, tuning in. Hope y'all had a fun time watching the BET Awards like we did.
The EVT Awards.
Make sure y'all keep following us on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. And y'all be safe out there, and we'll holler at y'all on the next one. Peace. We'll be right back.